excused. Can you help him out there? I was looking out in the hallway, and he was looking for your restroom, and he's a little bit lost. So I'm excited to be with you guys here this morning. I think my dad may have preached here with you guys before, Mike Kimball. So he said lots of great things, so I was excited to be with you. So thank you for having me. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, but we're going to skip around just a little bit. We're going to be a lot in the book of Hebrews, kind of a lot in Numbers, and a little bit in Psalms, okay? So we have to know what happened in Numbers to really understand what we're going to talk about in Hebrews chapter 4 today, because the writer of the book of Hebrews wrote this letter or sermon to these people talking about their family history, so the Hebrew children. So in the book of Numbers, we're going to go a little bit over that family history so we can really, really understand what it is that this author is talking about. In the book of Hebrews, letter/sermon, the author starts the sermon saying, "Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many ways by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by the Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world." So the writer here is setting the stage, and he or she is reminding the people of who they are and where they came from. Those of us who know a lot about the Hebrew children, we know that they had a family history of just not getting things right. They had this family history of really knowing what was right and knowing what they should do, but doing what they wanted to do. So it's kind of reminding them, hey, this is where you came from, and this is what that means to your faith journey. So the first three chapters of the book of Hebrews, they walk the congregation, those people, through the creation story and the sacrifice that Jesus made for his children. And sprinkled throughout the entire letter are warnings to the people, remember what you have heard. Not just what you heard, you know, from your ancestors and what happened years ago, but remember what you've heard about Jesus. Remember what you've heard about the Messiah. Don't forget that, because it's really important. We need to remember these things. So, for example, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it." So this is brings us to Psalm 95, and I'm going to go ahead and turn there. And we're going to read Psalm 95 this morning because Psalm 95 is going to be quoted later on in Hebrews. And so it says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." So God is reminding the people, hey, you saw my faithfulness. You saw what I was able to do, but you still chose not to listen to me. And because of that act of disobedience, there are going to be consequences to those actions. You made a choice. And now you have to live with that. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation, and I said, they are people whose hearts go astray. They have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger that they would never enter my rest. What the psalmist is talking about here is the Hebrew children in the desert. And in the book of Numbers, verses around 12 to 14, well, I'm sorry, books 12 to 14, there's a story there, and the story is this. The story is that God told Moses, I want you to choose one person from each of these 12 tribes, and I want you to send them into the land of Canaan, and I want them to look around, and I want them to see what's there. I want them to look at their cities, and I want them to see, are they good city? Are they fortified cities, or are they not guarded? I want you to look around and see what the vegetation is like. I want you to see what the land is like, what the people is like. I want you to just, for 40 days, I want you to spend time in that place looking around and seeing what it's like. And then I want you to come back and I want you to tell you, Moses, what they have seen. And so that's what Moses did. He was obedient. He listened to God. He chose one person from every tribe, and he sent them into the land of Canaan. And they spent 40 days there, and they saw that they did have fortified cities. They had strong cities that were protected. And they saw that they had vegetation that was good. And they saw that they had land that was able to be planted in. And it produced such good vegetation. They also saw that the people there were huge. They were really big. In fact, it says that we looked like grasshoppers to them, and they looked big to us. They were big people. So they spent the time there. They were obedient. They saw what it is that they were asked to see. And then they returned and they reported these things to Moses. And they said, you know what? They do have fortified cities, and they do have great vegetation. And it is a land flowing with milk and honey. It is exceedingly good. It is exceedingly good. But the people there are big, and they're bigger than us. And the cities are strong and they're fortified. And although it's exceedingly good and it will be a wonderful place to enter, we cannot do it, because surely they will kill us. They will plunder us. They will take our women. They will take our children. And we just can't do it. But two of the men that had entered into the land of Canaan were Caleb and Joshua. And they entered into the land of Canaan and they saw that it was exceedingly good. And they saw all of the same things that the other people saw. They saw, you know what? They do have fortified cities, and they are much bigger than us. But we know, and we have faith, that our God, if he asks us to do this, that our God will protect us, that our God will go before us, and that if we face them in battle, and this is what God asks us to do, that we will be okay, because we have seen God do mighty things. But the other people who went, they thought, no, we cannot do this. And they were throwing a fit. They were having a tantrum. They were saying, we certainly cannot go there. We will die. Why would God ask us to do this? Why would he bring us from slavery and then allow us to be killed? We're not going to do it. You know what? We're going to pick a new leader. And that new leader is going to take us back to Egypt. Because even in slavery, it would be better than this. And, you know, Caleb and Joshua, they were like, no, we have to do this. We have to be obedient. This is what God has asked us to do. And so these other people, they started what I like to call a whisper campaign. And they entered into the camp and they started whispering to the people, you have to go to Moses. You have to go to Aaron. You have to say we can't do this. We have to stone Caleb and Joshua. We have to get rid of them, because if we do this, you're going to die. God isn't going to protect us. And what I find amazing, and what we know we will find that God also found amazing, is that these children were still wandering, the Hebrew children, they're still wandering in the desert. And while they were in the desert, they were still being led by the cloud for the day and a pillar of fire at night. Not only was God still leading them in this way, but at this time, he was still raining down manna from heaven to provide for them. Not only that, these were people who saw the plagues. These were people who crossed the Red Sea. These are people who saw the mighty hand of God provide for them, continue to provide for them, and to lead them. But still, they lacked the faith to believe that God could protect them in this way. And so they were mad. They didn't want to do it. You know, Caleb and Joshua, they tore their clothes before the people and they pleaded with them, we have to be obedient. And God basically at this moment is like, I have had enough. And he shows up in the tent of meeting and he lights it up. And as he lights it up, he says to Moses, he says, these people do not listen to me. These people do not have faith. I continue to provide for them. I continue to show them my mighty hand, and they continue to want to go their own way. And so you know what? I'm going to strike them with a plague, and I'm just going to kill them. And I'm just going to be done with it. And Moses, he pleads with God, and he says, please forgive them. Please do not do this. Please forgive these people. And God says, okay, I will do that. I will forgive these people. I will offer forgiveness. But none of them will enter my rest except for Caleb and Joshua and anyone 20 years old and younger. Those are the people. Once everyone else is gone, then you can enter into my rest. There were consequences to their actions, right? They had seen the mighty hand of God. They had been witness to all of the great things that he had done, but they still chose to be disobedient. They still chose to go their own way. And God said, you know what? I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to show you love and forgiveness, but there are going to be consequences to your actions. And so that is where I want us to remember that this morning as we go through the book of Hebrews, because this is the family history of the people that we're going to be talking about. People who were eyewitnesses to the mighty hand of God, eyewitnesses to his provision and protection, but still chose to go their own way. And as a result, there were consequences. Even though they knew what God had done, they continued to be disobedient. So let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we just thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for the ability to come to this place as believers and to meet together and to worship you in corporate worship, but then to take this out into our communities and share it with others. God, we ask this morning that you would just speak to our hearts, that these words this morning would be yours and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. I'm going to turn there. Well, maybe I'm going to turn there. There we go. Okay, verses 12 to 16 says this. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So in the beginning of Hebrews chapter 4, which we didn't read this morning, but we've talked about a bit, we hear those words again that we heard in Numbers and that we heard in the Psalms. The writer here is reminding the people that they are the direct descendants of the Hebrew children who wandered in the desert. And their ancestors had seen the mighty wonders of God and had still chosen to go their own way. They were witnesses to the truth, and they chose to remain disobedient. And as a result of their disobedience, God told them and swore on oath, you will never enter his rest. And this writer, whoever it is cautioning the people, we do not want to be like that. We know where we've come from. We do not want to go back there. We do not want to allow history to repeat itself and then miss the opportunity to enter into this eternal rest that is still available to us. This eternal rest with God the Father and his Son, Jesus. So the writer quotes the psalmist and saying, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And he calls them to obedience, telling them, make every effort to hear God's voice, to hear the words of God, and to put it into practice and do what it is that God is calling you to do. So in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, there are some really powerful verses we just read. And it says, the word of God is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It can cut through bone and marrow and divide soul from spirit. Verse 13 says that nothing can be hidden from God and everything will be laid bare to him that we must give an account. That can be very intimidating. That verse, those two verses alone could be very scary if we were to read them alone. Verse 12 uses the phrase word of God. The word of God is alive and active. And so when we read this, we think, oh, certainly this is talking about scripture, right? The word of God. However, if we were to read this and really dig into the context, we would find that the writer is saying the words of God, the things that God has to say to you, the things that God has said to us as a people and that he continues to say, the words of God, the actual things that God has to say to us. It's not so much speaking about scripture and the Bible, because they wouldn't have had, you know, at this time, they wouldn't have had this. They would have had just letters, you know. Not so much speaking about reading your Bible and reading scripture, although we will talk about the importance of that here in a little bit. It's speaking about the things that God has to say to us and what he wants us to hear. God, the things he has to say are alive and active. That's what this writer is saying. The things that God has to say are not old. It's just not stuff he had to say to our ancestors. He has something new for us today in this context, but then also in the context of this room. God has words to say to us, and they are alive and active. They're not old words. He's still speaking new things. And so that is what the writer here is saying. God is in fact alive and very active in the day that this was written and very active today. God has things he wishes to say to us, and the words of God should cut deep. The writer is saying they should expose us. They should remind us maybe of where we've come from or what we've been doing, and then expose us and call us to make decisions, call us to take steps of obedience. Those words should expose our thoughts and our intentions, and we will be accountable to those things. And so this can be kind of scary. And if we were to read, you know, just chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, and we were to stop there, we might leave church saying, oh, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous today because, you know what? God is examining my heart, and he is examining all of my words and my actions. And you know, it says that he's going to everything. I'm going to be accountable to all of these things someday. Accountable today, accountable someday. And so that could be a little scary. But thank goodness, that's heavy. That can be scary. But thank goodness we don't stop there. We don't stop at verse 13. We move forward to verse 14. And verse 14 says this: since we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, we do not have to fear, because we have a high priest in Jesus, right? He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for us. That's really awesome when we stop to think about it. If we would just think about that, that the Savior of the world, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is sitting at the right hand of the Creator of the world, and he's praying for you. And he's praying for me. He's interceding for us. And he has the ability to do that because he has experienced the things that we've experienced, and he's been through the things that we have been through, and he has walked this earth as a man, and he has faced all of the same temptations that all of us have faced, and he has done that without sin. He's felt heartache. He's grieved, and he has lived and experienced life as a person. And so because he has done that, he has this ability to sit at the right hand of the Father and to pray for you and to intercede for you. And that's exciting. The verses go on to say, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. If we were to read verse 12 and 13 alone, we would think, you know what, this God, he's a harsh God, and he's a judgmental God, and he's looking at our hearts, and he's piercing our hearts, and we're going to be held accountable for all of these words, and there's no second chances. We're just, every word we say, we're just going to be held accountable to it. But guess what? Although, yes, we will be held accountable to those words, although, yes, God, you know, pierces our hearts, he is ready and willing to help us through these things. You know, we have this God who loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us, and to not only die, but to live life and experience it so he could, you know, relate to us and have this ability, like I said, to intercede, to pray on our behalf. But what does God ask of us? All he asks of us is for our obedience to his word, to take steps of obedience and to listen to what he has to say, even in the midst of being nervous about it, even when, like the people who entered into Canaan, we see, you know, there are things around us that are exceedingly good. This is exceedingly good, but God, you're asking me to do this, and I'm scared because it's not going to be easy, and I could fail, and I don't know how to take a step of obedience because I might mess it up or it might not go well. But guess what? Just like the Hebrew children that were asked to enter into the promised land, God didn't say, hey, here's what's going to happen, X, Y, Z. He asked for a step of obedience, and he said, I'm going to go before you, right? And so God asks for us to take steps of obedience, and he promises that he is going to go before us. Thank goodness he doesn't ask us to do it in our own strength. He asks us to just do it and put our faith and our trust in him. He doesn't want any of us to miss out on the opportunity to live inside of his will. And he wants us to be able to hear his voice. And so oftentimes I hear people ask me this question, okay, you know, this says that we're supposed to hear the words of God. And if the words are of God are the things that this God has to say to us now, and if God is alive and active now and he has words for me, how am I supposed to hear those? How am I supposed to know what those are and know that those come from him? Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about something that I used to talk about as a youth pastor for 8 years. And as a youth pastor, I had a saying, and I would say, hey, what does it mean to be rooted, to be a rooted person? And my youth group would then be able to quote back to me what it means to be a rooted person. And first, we're going to understand what it looks like to be a rooted person, and then I'll explain to you how you can be one. So to be a rooted person, all of us are rooted in something, right? We're all rooted in some kind of soil, and based upon the soil that we're planted in, that's going to determine what kind of fruit we're going to bear, right? Everyone's going to bear fruit, whether it's good or bad, you're going to bear fruit. And so if we're a rooted person and you're rooted in the words of God, then you are going to bear the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Those are the things, gentleness, those are the things that are going to come from you naturally. They're just going to come from you because you're rooted and you're rooted in the good soil. Now, if you're not, there are still going to be fruits that come from you. They just aren't going to be very nice, right? They're not going to be good. People aren't really going to want to spend a whole heck of a lot of time around you because there's not going to be, you know, good things coming out of you. And so if we're going to remain rooted and we're going to be in good soil, we've got to have three things. And those ingredients are this. They're to pray, they're to read your Bible, and they're to spend time in community with other believers. And this is how we become people who can hear the words of God, who can recognize what they are and allow them to speak over our life. So the first thing, I always say the most important thing, is to spend time in the Word, right? In Scripture. Because the only way that we can know the words of God is if we get to know God himself and we know his heart. And to get to know God himself and to know his heart, we've got to be in the Scripture. We have to be reading this story of God. As good Nazarenes, we believe that all Scripture is good and points the way to salvation. And so as we read the Word of God and we get to know his heart, we get to be able to, you know, understand what his voice sounds like, understand how to hear what's being said to us and be able to discern if it's from God or not. One of the best ways is if you think, is this from God? Is this something that God is saying to me? And you go to the Word and you can't find it there. It doesn't line up. Well, you can know those are not the words of God. That's not from God because you can't find it in Scripture. And so it's so important that we spend time in the Word. It's also important that it's important to spend time in the Word individually. That's so, so important. But we know that people all over the world don't have access to this Word on their own sometimes. So even more so, it's important that we spend time in the Word together as the body of believers, that we're reading Scripture in community with one another and discussing it and saying, hey, this is what God has said to me in this place. And you say, hey, this is what God has said to me in this place. And that's how we learn. So first ingredient of being rooted is to read the Bible, is to be in Scripture, is to be hearing the words of God in that way. Second is to spend time in prayer. And not just the kind of prayer where you're constantly lifting things up, but where you're sitting and hearing the things that are coming back to you, right? Where you're having your heart and your ears open and you're able to hear what it is that God has to say to you more than what you have to say to God, right? And so, number one, you know, we're in the Word, we're in Scripture, we're reading it, we're getting to know the heart of God. Number two, we're in prayer. We're lifting our words up to God, we're speaking with him, but most importantly, we're sitting and listening, and we're hearing what it is that he is sending back down to us. And then third, and this is so vital and so important, is community. Living in community. We were created to do life with one another, not just on our own, but to live in community with other believers. It helps us to grow. It helps us to stay strong in our walk of faith. And so to be rooted, to be a person who has deep roots, who's growing in Christ, We've got to be in scripture. We've got to be in prayer. We've got to be in community with the believers. And because we have these things, we start to be able to hear the words of God. We be able to hear the things that God has to say to us, and we're able to then discern them and put them into practice and take steps of obedience. We're able to, in community, hear, hey, remember when God did this? And we're able to say, oh, yes, and we can learn from that. And or this is what God is doing now, and we have opportunities to learn from that. And so we need to be together. We need to remember our past. We need to be doing these things in order to be good, rooted people. And so that is what the Hebrew children, what they're being reminded of here in this verse. Hey, we're doing this together. We've seen the mighty acts of God in our history and in our current day, and we do not want to forget those things. We do not want to not put them into practice, because if we do, we're going to miss the opportunity to enter into the second rest. And so that was so true for that church at that time, but it's so true for this church, capital C, big church, in this day and in this age, because we still have the opportunity to enter into this rest. And we do not want to miss the opportunity because of our disobedience. We do not want to miss the opportunity because we want to choose to go our own way, maybe out of fear. Maybe out of fear, maybe out of just, you know, for lack of a better word, just doing what we want to do, right? Seeking our own will. And so this writer here, it's so true for this church, but so true for us today, that, you know, we have to have open ears, ready and willing to hear the words of God, to accept them and to put them into practice and be people of obedience and people that don't repeat the negative history maybe that is in our, maybe our negative family history, like the Hebrews that had this history of not doing what God asked them to do. We want to be obedient people that are rooted, people that are, we have those fruits of the Spirit just, you know, naturally flowing from us that are coming out of a life of rooted people. We need to, as this verse goes on to say, approach the throne of grace boldly. What does that mean? It means that we need to pray bold prayers. We need to be people that are praying bold prayers, that we're saying, hey, God, we have seen your mighty hand at work. We believe that you can do what you say you are going to do, and we are praying that you will do this, that you will raise up the church now in a way that you have been desiring to do so, and that you use us to do it. Maybe, you know, we've watched this video this morning of homelessness, and it's such a problem in our current culture and cultures all over the world. God, we're going to pray bold prayers that you allow us to be people that are a solution to this, that you would show us where you are moving and that we could join you in that work. Pray bold prayers and approach the throne of grace boldly. God desires to speak to us. He has words to say to us, but he desires that we be people who are ready to listen, ready to put these things into practice. We need each other to grow. We need to remain in community. And when we live in this way, when we live in community, when we fix our eyes on Jesus and we allow God to move in our life and we're obedient people, we don't need to fear verses 12 and 13 that God's words cut, you know, to bone and marrow, and we're going to be held accountable, because God desires us to enter into his rest, and he has given us the tools to do so. He has given us the ability to do these things. And so I want you to be encouraged this morning in knowing that God has things to say to you. I want you to be encouraged this morning in knowing that he has a will for you and things he would have you to do, but that we need to have open ears and willing hearts, being ready to take steps of obedience and to do these things that he calls us to do, and that we can do them in his strength, but also together as the body of Christ. And so I just want you to be encouraged this morning in those words, and I challenge you, I'm sure most of you are, but if you're not, I challenge you to be rooted people, people who are in the word daily, not just on your own, but with others, people of prayer, not just on your own, but with others, and people of community. So before we take communion together this morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you so much for the opportunity to come together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this place where we can come together and just hear from you, spend time in worship of you, Lord. God, we ask that you be with each person in the sanctuary this morning and that you would go with them as they go back out into the community and that they would be the hands and the feet of Jesus this week. In your name, amen.